Is anybody glad to be here today? Anybody? I'm glad you're here today. Yes. We've got several out. I know we got 26 that are camping today all together. So I guess that's all right every now and then. But they're having a great time. I'm glad to be here today. I hope you are. Hey, we got something going on back here. Would you flip on the baptistry light? Good morning.
Good morning.
Let's see how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You better let me hold that. You won't get shot. No, it's a battery. Tell us your name.
Stephanie Gavin.
Stephanie Gavin. Well, something special happened last Sunday, didn't it?
It did.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, I'm going through some things. Have been for several years, and came last Sunday, and the Lord spoke to me. I mean, the sermon was meant for me.
Awesome.
And you know, I want to change my life. Give my heart to the Lord and live right.
All right. Praise God. So you said Stephanie. Stephanie, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
You promised before God in this congregation that you're going to live your life totally for Him.
I do.
All right. Stephanie, upon the profession of your faith, by the authority of Jesus Christ, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yay! You bunch of fanatics. You just get excited. I do too. That is great. That is great. We have we've seen a lot of people come to faith this year, and I'm so glad that we have a church that believes in the power of the gospel of God to change human hearts. And that's all we did last week, is preach the gospel about the church, and it's exciting to see people come to faith. All right. I got to do it all this morning. Joe's on vacation. He's down at the beach celebrating 17 years of living with that ornery woman that he lives with. She's probably watching online. I'm in trouble. All right, let me receive tithes and offerings. We got buckets in these aisles right here. If you're at the head of that aisle, would you please take that and pass it down? Because I know somebody on that end wants to fill it up. And thank God. Making your checks out, make them out to BCC. If you're watching online, you can give online. There's a donate button up here somewhere. Here one. Or you can go to believerscommunity.org and you can click on the donate button and you can give that way. You can text to give. I don't know how to do that. I've never done it. But you can also do that. As you're making out your checks, couple of announcements. Today is the deadline for signing up your kid for church camp. You don't have to pay today, but we got to have those names. And we've only got about 30 from our church. And I know that there's a whole lot more people that need to go to church camp than 30 people. On a normal Sunday morning, we have 100 kids here. Isn't that awesome? You've done good making them babies. And send your child to church camp. They'll hear about Jesus. A lot of them will come to faith in Jesus, and that's what it's all about, church camp. Also, we're doing a taco salad dinner or lunch after second service today. It's a fundraiser for Honduras. Do we have some whale pictures to show? We have raised money to dig a well. There it is in the. There's a hole. Yeah, there it is, capped off. We still got to put the pump in. We got to pour concrete around the deal. There it is. There's a guy down there. How'd you like to be the guy at the bottom of that hole? Not me. Not this boy. But you know what? Your generosity has made it possible for that community to have clean water. How would you like to get your water out of a mud hole or out of a stream that wild animals, drank out of and did other things in? And you don't realize what fresh water means to a community like that. We take it for granted. You know, we take easy access. You know, electricity. Boy, we take that for granted. I remember when the power went out for a week a few years ago, and I thought we were dying. You know, everything we do depends on our conveniences, and they have not had fresh water. And now, because of your generosity and your giving and sowing, and they're going to have fresh water well, and they're going to be able to reach out to other communities, and just it'll just be a way to spread the gospel. Fresh water will share about living water, and that's so exciting. I'm glad that we're a part of that. So everything that is raised today, the church is furnishing all of the food items. We're absorbing that cost. So everything that you give today, it's a donation basis. Everything you give today will go towards that well. So go enjoy fellowship and some good taco salad. I smelled it a while ago, and it smells fine. It smells fine. All right, let's hold our offerings in our hand, and let's worship God today with our giving. Father, thank you so much for all you do in our lives. Thank you for all of the modern conveniences that we have in our life, and forgive us for taking so many things for granted. But Lord, we want to acknowledge you today with our lives, with our work week. We've labored, we've earned money, and Lord, you've enabled us to do that. And we want to give back to you a portion of that, your tithe. And Lord, we know that you have promised to bless that. No matter what we do, we can't outgive you. Thank you for your love today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Pass the buckets, and the ushers will pick those up. Crossroads, our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. You guys are dismissed. Give them a good hand. Hey, you can run. Run, run, run. You can run. It's okay. We don't have rules except before service down the aisles. Yeah, take care, because you know how anal I am about open doors. Had a wonderful time last night. Miss Terry Roark. Stand up, Terry. A lot of people don't know who you are. Stand up. She does prison ministry. This is one of the outreaches that we do. That we give every month so that they can go into prisons. They go into the Newport prison, the Calico prison, a few more that they go into, and they sing and minister the word. There's a couple couples, DJ and Denise and my brother and his wife, Steve and Becky. They go with them and they share the gospel, and no telling how many hundreds of people that they see saved every year. And hey, guess what? We get to help with that because we are supporting that. Anyway, I got to go last night, and you know, it was a little bit scary because we didn't think we was going to get in. In fact, they wouldn't let us in. The chaplain wasn't there to escort us in, so we went back out in the car and got ready to leave, and they waved us back in, and I'm so glad they did. And five men made a decision for Jesus Christ last night. That's a yay God. Then they took me out to eat, and we barely got back because we ran out of gas. And if they hadn't had a hybrid car, we wouldn't have made it. But we had a great evening, got to share fellowship together, and got to share the word, and I'm always excited. Prison is one of the most fun places to preach. It's one of the most fun places to go. And you know, people don't understand that. So I'd be scared. I have never felt threatened in prison, not one time. Anyway, we're going to continue our series that we started last week called Church 101. The next few weeks, we're going to be sharing about the church, specifically our church, what we're about, what we value, what we embrace. I want to cast vision. And the reason that I want to do this is I want this to become something that we introduce new families as they come into the church. We introduce them to who we are. To who we are. You know, if you come here and you think, okay, are you Baptist? Well, some. I was raised Methodist. And, you know, are you Pentecostal? Some. Are you Church of Christ? Some. Are you Catholic? Some. You know, we're a non-denominational church, but what does that mean? That can mean a lot of different things. So we want to share with you the next few weeks the things that we value, the things that we embrace, so that you can know who we are. And right now I'm reading a book called Stop Dating the Church. And I think it's time for us to stop dating the church and be committed to the church. So I want you to know what you are, what we're asking you to be committed to. And I think it's important that you know that. And it's good for me because sometimes we let aspects of our vision slip. You know, you got so many things going. You're trying to do this. You're trying to do that. And first thing you know, small groups are not where they need to be. So we want to bring that back around and, you know, do small groups better. And so we want to talk about the church. Last week we talked about the capital C church. We went back to the history of the conception of the church, where Jesus took the disciples to Caesarea Philippi and asked Peter the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Peter said, or Jesus said, "You know, Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. My Father showed you that. And you're a rock. You're Peter." He called him Simon, son of Jonah. Then he called him Peter, which means Petros, which is a small rock. He says, you're a rock. But upon this rock, this massive rock, I'll build my church. And it was talking about the revelation of who Jesus is. And he says, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll tell you something. The gates of hell will not overcome a church that's built on the massive rock of the revelation of who Jesus is. And I'm sad to say that there's many churches today who do not, they proclaim Jesus as a way. They don't proclaim Jesus as the way. And so, but you know, if we're going to declare the gospel, we have to declare who he is and what he's done and what he means. And so we began our series talking about that. Today, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to tell two stories. I want to tell my story, who I am, where I came from, what is it that helped shape me to do what I do, and the story of our church, where it came from. I'm proud to announce today that next year in December, Believers Community Church will be 40 years old. And that's a yay God, okay? And of that 40 years, I have been here 37 of those years. And so that, you know, praise God for that. Well, I praise God for that. I don't know if you praise God for that or not, but I praise God for that I've been here 37 years. I did not start the church. A lot of people think, well, you founded that church. No, I didn't. Somebody else did. I'm the second pastor. But we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to go back to the year of 1971. How many of you were not here in 1971? I'm talking about in the world. So, man, you're young. I was 19 years old in 1971. So next month I'll be 66, in case you're wondering how old I am. I'll be 66. I'm a young 66. But I have been raised in church my whole life. I was raised in the United Methodist Church. My home church is Asbury United Methodist Church on Neely Street in Batesville. It's no longer a Methodist church. It is a Hispanic Assembly of God church now. But that's where I was raised. I have been in church my entire life. 60, almost 66 years, I have been in church. But you know, the sad thing is, at age 19, I came to the realization that I didn't know Jesus. I've heard about him all my life, and yet I did not know him. I had not embraced him as my Lord and my Savior. And that's sad. That's sad. Either I didn't hear the message, or the message wasn't preached, or I wasn't listening. I don't know which one it was. But I did not know Jesus. And through some circumstances in life, I began to do a spiritual search. I remember as a young child, God was dealing with me and I didn't even know it. We used to play church with my brother and sister, and we'd get the clothes hamper out. And I'd stand behind the clothes. I was the preacher, okay? And I'd stand behind the clothes hamper and I would preach to my brother and sister. What's up with that? God was dealing with me and I didn't even know. God was beginning to shape me before I ever knew what was going on. I could remember laying out, looking up at the sky as a young child and looking at the clouds. There's something about looking at clouds, isn't there? And I could just see things in the clouds. And I remember feeling the presence of God. I didn't know God, but I could feel His presence. What was going on? He was beginning to shape me. He was laying His hands on me and drawing me to Himself at a young age. I was kind of a rebellious teenager. I was mischievous. I never got into drugs. I never got into alcohol. I got into other things, which is none of your business. But I was in things I shouldn't have been involved in. I had a horrible mouth. I could cuss bad, bad, bad. But I was in church. See, it's possible to be in church and not know Jesus. And it's not about, I say it's not about church, but really it is about church. But you can know church, but you can not know Jesus. And what we want to do is that we want to know Jesus, and then we want to be a part of His church. Because church is Jesus' ideal. And if the church was important to God and it was important to Jesus, and it has been a great part of history, the shaping of society through history and through the gospel, listen, our attitude towards church should be as important. It should be as important to us as it is to God. I believe in the Big C Church. I believe in the Church Universal. I believe that if you're born again, you're a member of Christ's church. But you know what? Just being a member of a big church and not being committed to anything, that's one of the reasons that He gave the little C church, which is the local church. The local church is the hope of our world. It's not politics. It's not our government. Thank God for our government. Thank God for all of those things and the comforts that we have because of it. But listen, the government cannot make laws that transform the hearts of men and women. There's only one thing that I know of that can transform the... Woo! I felt that. Only one thing that I know of that can transform the heart of men, and that's the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And thank God for that gospel. But anyway, back to my story. But God began to deal with me. And I remember getting up on Sunday morning and getting ready to go to church. And I didn't like going to church. Been in church all my life. You've been that. Maybe you're that way today. I don't know. But used to, I had to go to church because mom and dad made me go to church. You live in my house, you go to church. That's what we did. Every Sunday morning, we went to church, and that's just what we did. But I would get up, and I would get ready, and I'd turn the TV on, and I remember looking at Rex Humbard. Does anybody remember Rex and Maud Amy Humbard, the TV preachers, way back in the Stone Age? And he would be talking about Jesus, and you could tell that he knew Jesus, that he had a personal relationship with Jesus. And he'd talk about Jesus and tears would run down his cheek. And here I was, this 19-year-old boy, you know, big boy, you know, and tears would be running down my cheek. What was going on? The Holy Spirit was dealing with me and softening my heart. And I was raised at, like I said, Asbury United Methodist. One of the families that I went to church with was the Hawkins family. It was Champ and Laura Hawkins, and they had two children, Champ Jr. and Linda Hawkins. And one day we got the news in July, about July the 8th, that Champ Sr. was found dead in his delivery truck. He worked for Barnett's Supermarket down on Main Street. And he was making a delivery, pulled over, had a heart attack, and died. 2 days later, they had his funeral on July the 10th, 1971. They had his funeral. I attended that funeral. God had been dealing with me. I had prayed the prayer of salvation, I bet 10 times. But I just, for some reason, I just didn't feel like anything happened. But that day, after the funeral, I didn't even, it was so crowded, I didn't even get into the auditorium. I had to sit in the choir room to the side. And after it was over, I went out the back. I came around the front, standing across the street, waiting for the family to come back out, just, you know, being respectful. They walked out, and I could see the peace of God on Champ Jr. And that made such an impact on me that I cried out from the depths of my heart. I said, Jesus, I want you. I want you in my life. I want you in my heart. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my Savior. And he changed my heart that day. Something happened on the inside of me that was wonderful. Used to, I had to go to church. Now I got to go to church. I remember going to church and we would sing out of those hymn books. And you know, you'd sing those songs and your heart would just burn on the inside of you. We had a little fiery preacher at that time. His name was George Cleary. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And he would preach, and I tell you what, I'd sit out there and my heart would melt. God was dealing with me. There was such a hunger in my heart for the things of God and the Word of God. And this is before I met Kathy. So I didn't have a date after I met Kathy. She was my last date. But I had this date with this girl from a sister church, and we went to the fair. It's my one and only date with her. we met a gentleman that had used to go to our church, and he got to telling me about Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. He says, listen, you've got to go to that. There is the presence of God there that is strong. And I was hungry. I was hungry for the Word. I was hungry. I love the presence of God, and I could go to church and feel the presence of God. And so he invited me to come, and I did. And I was not the same after that. I got introduced to what is known as the Charismatic Renewal. Back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the Charismatic Renewal was huge. And basically what that was an emphasis on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. And it was a renewal of the manifestations of the Spirit, what we call the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I was introduced to that and impacted by that. And I went back to my Methodist church, and I served in that church, and I was, you know, I was hungry, hungry, hungry for the things of God. And after that, I met two pastors of different churches. One of them was J.T. Adams, pastor of Full Gospel Fellowship out on Neely Street, and Tommy Carpenter, who was pastor at First Assembly in Batesville. His son, Ched Carpenter, is at Assembly at Pleasant Plains now, and they've started a Celebrate Recovery there that's doing really, really well. But anyway, I was so hungry and had so many questions about the things of God that I would go and knock on their door in the morning. I would wait till 8 o'clock. I wanted to go at 6. I had so many questions. I'd knock on their door, and I more than once, Brother Adams come to the door in his pajamas. And I say, Brother Adams, I got to talk to you. I got some questions. And thank God he didn't run me off. But he would answer my questions, and he would kind of feed me. And I did the same thing with Brother Carper. I know they hated to see me come because I had a boatload of questions. I was hungry for the things of God. I had an appetite for God. And I think it was beyond normal because of what God was doing in my life and what God was preparing me for. See, God meets us where we are, but see, no, he has the end in mind. He knows where he's taken us, and he'll put within our hearts the things that the hungers that we need to grow into what He's called us to be. And I didn't hold God off at all. I want all of you. I want to know everything. I want to know everything you know, God. For real, yeah. And it was kind of the sad thing, but anyway, it was kind of a deal that God was directing my life, because I had surrendered for the ministry in the Methodist Church. And I got a course of study from the United Methodists, and they were going through a lot of transition at that time, and not all of it was good, okay? And I'm not down on the Methodist Church at all. What I'm saying is it's just what happened. But we had a district superintendent at that time who thought the teaching on the new birth was heresy. A man being born again, that was heretical teaching. It was false teaching. So I don't know what he thought. But I went to a seminar in one of the churches there, and one of the big shot ministers from Little Rock did a teaching on the translation of the Bible. And he talked about how that the Masoretes went in and changed some of these things and that. And when he got through, he held up the Bible and he said, "I did all that to prove to you that this is not the Word of God. It contains the Word of God." Well, that sounds good, but who gets to decide what's the Word of God and who's not? Does it become a matter of opinion? Well, one of the things that I learned among Full Gospel businessmen and Brother Carpenter and Brother Adams, that this is the authoritative Word of God. And this is where we find out who God is and what He's like and what He loves and what He hates. And this is the thing that we need to put first place in our life. So I had married Kathy by then. Thank God for good women, good wives. God sent me a good one. That's all I will say about that. Because I got in trouble first service for what I said. But we were married by then, and we made the decision that we were not going to pursue the ministry, the ministerial credentials in the Methodist Church. And we left and went to the Assembly of God Church. A short time after that, I heard about a Bible school, because I knew that I was called to preach, but I didn't know where I was going to preach. And I heard about a Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, called Rhema Bible Training Center. It was a Word of Faith a Bible training center that had just started the year before. And I applied and was accepted and went and did 1 year's training at Rhema. Came back to Batesville. This was in 1976, December of 1976. We came back to Batesville. We moved into a little house at Southside. And while we were there, Davy was born in Tulsa when we were there, and Kevin was born when we moved back in 1977. And then Joe was born in 1979 when we were in South Arkansas. But anyway, we had two children, and we moved back and we had Kevin. But one of the things that I did is that I started a Bible study in our home. And my goal and my thought was, out of this, we're going to start a new church. We're going to start a faith church in Batesville. Well, it kind of floundered. It did. It just didn't go anywhere. Time wasn't right yet. Some things had to happen. So I pursued credentials with the Assemblies of God and got my license to preach, and then I got my my license with them. And in February of 1978, I accepted the pastorate of a church in South Arkansas, Luann Assembly of God. Now, let me tell you about this little church. It was hard to get a church. Everybody wanted a young preacher with 40 years experience. Well, I was a young preacher with no experience. So I kind of had to take what was available. And we moved to South Arkansas with our two kids and took a church that had five members. And they were all old. We lived in that church for several months. That church was so dead you'd have to jack it up to bury it. I mean, it was dead. The average stay of a pastor in that church was 6 months. And when 6 months was up, I was ready to leave. I'm telling you, I wanted out of there bad because I had a bigger vision than what that church had. I could see things that, you know, I could see myself preaching to a lot of people. And was I ready to do that? No. Duh. And so I would, the assemblies would publish a list of open churches about every week. So I'd get that list of open churches. And I would go down through there and I would call churches. And Kathy and I went several times. We went to a church in Stuttgart and preached in view of a call. Well, guess what? We didn't get it. Then we went to a church at Rosebud. Rosebud? Yeah. No, Saffle. Rosebud Assembly in Saffle. Preached there. We didn't get that one. We went to a church in Horseshoe Bend and we preached there. And guess what? We didn't get that one. So I had to go back to Luann. I was so miserable. So miserable. I wanted out of there bad. But you know what? God was doing something in my heart. He was preparing me for something in the future. You know, a lot of times when you're in a point in your life where you're really frustrated about something, God is at work preparing you for something in the future. See, God knows your future. God knows your future. And a lot of times we try to get ahead of God. I mean, I could have very easily married the wrong woman. I dated a girl that I should not have married, and I didn't. I didn't. Thank God I didn't marry her. I got the one that God had for me, but if I would have done, you know, I didn't know she existed at that time. I'm pointing, that's where she sits, right over there. But she told me to be careful how you say this. You give the wrong impression. But you know, in myself, I would have chosen this girl that I was dating, but she was totally wrong for me. And it proved out in the future that she was wrong. But God was at work preparing her, preparing me. And he does that in our lives. He's always at work preparing us for something in the future. And we pray about things sometimes and we want to do this. And Lord, I'm believing you for this. And God says, that's not right for you. That's not right for you. Wait on me. Well, Lord, I don't want to wait. I don't want to wait. And so God wouldn't let me leave that church. I was there for 2.5 years. 2.5 years. The longest anybody had ever stayed is 6 months. I was there 2.5 years. And after I tried out for that last church and didn't get it, I went back and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm right here. I'm going to stay right here. And I'm going to, you know where I'm at. And when you get ready for me to go somewhere, you'll open the door. And you know what happened to that church? It began to grow. Now, when Kathy and I went there, well, before Kathy and I went there, there was 5. When we moved there, there was 4 of us. And we added another. And so we doubled. I mean, we had massive growth. Went from 5 to 9 and then 10. The bad thing was that when Kevin would show out, she'd get up and take all the kids out. We're back to 5. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I could tell you some stories. Oh, it's awful. Awful. But when I told God that, listen, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit fighting with you over this. You know where I'm at. You can move me when you're ready. That church began to grow. And you know what? When we left there, that church was running over 30 in this little bitty small town that's probably smaller than Pfeiffer. I mean, it's just a little bitty small town between Camden and El Dorado. I got a call one day from Charles Capps, and I'd known Charles for years, and he said, I want you to pray about something. I said, what's that? He said, I want you to pray about coming up to England, Arkansas, and starting a church. I didn't want to hear that for 2 reasons. Number one, I was a part of the Assemblies of God, and this wasn't. So I would have to I'd have to give up my credentials. I would have to move somewhere else, and I would have to start a church. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, you pray about it, and I'll call you back. said, okay. And I, you know, I wasn't very keen on the idea. And I was talking to Kathy and I said, you know what? I wouldn't mind doing it if number one, number two, I named four things that I wouldn't mind doing it if these things were happening. He called me back a week later. He said, well, have you thought about it? I said, yeah, but I got some reservations. He said, let me tell you what I got in mind. He named number one, number two, number three, and number four. So guess what we did? We moved to England, Arkansas, and started England Christian Center. Now, while we were in Luann, let me just back up a little bit. While we were in Luann, you remember I told you about starting a Bible study with the thought of starting a church in Batesville. Well, in 1979, a friend of mine who went to Rhema with me called me and said, guess what? The Lord spoke to me and told me to go back to Batesville and to start a charismatic teaching center and a family church. I thought, praise God, that's good. Batesville's going to get a word church. And in December of 1979, a church was born, and its name was Believers Outreach Center. In fact, there's a lot of people who still call it that today. Believers Outreach Center, which would later become Believers Community Church. So Believers was born in December of 1979 as a charismatic teaching center and a family church. I had the privilege a couple of times. In fact, it was started two blocks behind Wendy's. There's two little houses, one's on the corner and one's next to it, that are identical. They're little white houses. You could drive down that street on Gray Street and you can see those two houses. It started in that house. This, what we're experiencing here today, and we got a short crowd here today. We have 500 or 600 people now. But it started in a little house behind Wendy's. Well, when the landlord found out that they were having church there, he kicked them out. So they moved to Westside on Pine Street by Westside School, and they met there. It was there that I went one Sunday night while I was at England and preached on a Sunday night in that church. And then a little bit later, they left there and they went into a garage. Jimmy Melton was the first pastor, and his dad had a garage that they converted into a little church. And they met there until they found the church building that's next to Cowboys. And we do have some folks still here in our church that remembers the first Sunday that we were at Cowboys. In fact, Jay and Faye Hudson, I mean, they had 100 kids. How many kids? 10. They had 10 kids. Well, a lot of them were grown, but there was they had Kathy Hudson, and they had Tammy Hudson, and they had Tanya Hudson, who is now Tanya Jarrett and Tammy Brazier, who go to church here today. They remember those early days, that the early days of the church over by Cowboys. And so they moved into that church after that. I got a call one day. Jimmy says, I'm going to hold a seminar and I want you to be one of the speakers. This was in 81. He said, okay. So I came up here and there was about six of us that did a seminar. And one afternoon, Jimmy comes to me and says, listen, I want to take you out to lunch and I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So we went over to the old Sweden Cream on West Side, and we were eating lunch. He says, listen, I'm fixing to leave, and I want you to take this church. My head hit the table. I didn't want to. I didn't want to come back. I said, well, I'll need to talk to Kathy. I talked to Kathy. She says, no. So he said, pray about it. So we prayed about it, and guess what God said? He says, do it. Now, why didn't it work back in 1976? Because I wasn't ready. There were some things in my life that had to be worked out. And one of those things was faithfulness. I had not been faithful in a lot of areas. And God would not let me leave that church until he worked out some faithfulness. And he knew that I was going to need it when I took this church. Because I'll tell you, the first 8 years here was hell on earth. There was people here that did not like me, that did not want me to lead this church and resisted me. And we had all kinds of things going on. I mean, there was an undercurrent of this and that. And it was just hard. I loved it here. When I came here, I loved it. From the start, I loved it. I loved the people. But it was hard. And we went from 60 to 90. When I took the church, it ran 60, and it got up to 90. And we'd get up to 130 or 40, then it dropped back down to 90. And, it was just an ongoing thing. But God was at work, and we were a Word of Faith Charismatic Church. I don't know if you know what that means or not, but something happens in many revivals is that people take emphasis on one or two little things, and they just drive it into the ground. You know, one of the things that happened back in the charismatic renewal is something called falling under the power. Okay? Is that a legitimate thing? Absolutely. There's places in Scripture where people would come in contact with the presence of God and they would bodily fall over. In fact, when they come to get Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers come up and said, "We're looking for Jesus." He said, "I am he." And the Bible says they went backward and fell to the ground. They were overwhelmed by the power of God. But that became such a defining thing in the charismatic renewal that you know people had to fall in the floor every service. And it was wonderful. If they didn't fall on the floor, there wasn't any anointing there today. People didn't fall in the floor. But you know what? I found something. That you don't build a church emphasizing extreme things. They're legitimate, but people take them to the excess. And many times, in many places in the charismatic renewal and the Pentecostal movement, they've done that with tongues. If there's not a message in tongues every service, then God wasn't there. All I believe in tongues, I've spoken in tongues. I've done that for a long, long time. It's real. But people take it and they want to make an emphasis out of it. It's just part of the whole. So I began to see some excesses. And I would ask myself, I scratch my head and ask myself questions. Can I see the Apostle Paul doing that? Can I see that? And I begin to examine some things and think, okay, I believe this is excess. So we began to move the church into an area of change. We had moved over here. We came over here and we grew to about 200, from about 90 to 200. And we began to take the church through some changes. And we began to make our emphasis was not what we call the extremes, but was we made the main thing the main thing, the gospel, the grace of God. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of God. I believe that it's the Holy Spirit who transforms men's lives. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to you in a message. This young lady that rededicated her life last week, that was not me. That was not my eloquence. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that did that. It's the gospel. And we have had people heal physically in our services as the gospel has been preached. Yes, the power of God is real. But listen, it's when the gospel goes forth that the power of God is released. And that's what that we made that the main thing. And we, getting people saved and getting people into the Word. See, I'm not a preacher. Every now and then I'll get one of those things. But listen, I'm a teacher. God called me to teach. And you know what we are? We are a teaching church and we are a family church. And we're going to get more into this in the next few weeks to come about what is it that we value? Where is it that we want to go? Like I said, next December we will be 40 years old. 40 years old. That's old for one of our kind of churches, okay? There's Baptist churches that are over 100 years old, but we're 40. But I think in 40 years, you know what? We can be just as strong and stronger than we are today. Because you know what? We're not building this church on a personality. I'm not the important thing here. In fact, if you understand it, if you're a part of this church and you volunteer in this church and you do things in your church, in this church, what you do is just as important as what I do. Whether it's keeping those babies in the nursery, whether it's cleaning, whether it's doing the sound or the overhead stuff or singing on the worship team or something that nobody sees, it's just as important as what I do because it's what you've been called to do. See, you saw how my story intertwined with the story of believers. Can I just tell you, if you're here by the will of God, your story intertwines with the story of believers also. Because God has got you on a journey. God has got you on a journey. We're all a part of the big C if we're born again. But listen, we need to be a part of the little C. We need to quit dating the church and we need to become committed to the church. Because the local church is important. It is the hope of the world. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. I'm looking forward to next week already. Already. Thank you for letting me share my story today. I had to come to faith just like you did. I had to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had to realize that I was lost and undone, that I was a sinner, and that I needed a Savior. And you know what? You may be here today and you may say, you know what? I've been in church all my life, but I don't know the Lord. That's very, very possible. To be around the church, to be around Christian people, to be around the things of God, but have never really experienced God. Jesus is the way. He's the one that's important. He's the one that's important in this church, and His presence in this church is the thing that's important. And I believe that if we'll proclaim Him, He'll draw men to Him. And I believe that He does that. So if you're here today and you need to come into that expression of your faith, we're going to give you that opportunity. You're going to ask our prayer team to come. We've got time for prayer. Well, we've always got time for prayer, don't we? And we're going to ask you that if you need Jesus in your life today, we got one here and one back there. If you don't want to come to the front, you can go to the back. Some people, I don't want to go up front. Well, go to the back. We got one right. She'll pray you through. So let's stand together. We're going to worship one more time. If you have other needs, feel free to come. If you just want to come and kneel and pray, that's okay too. But let's worship today. Amen.